Today is a wonderful and joyful feast day, a feast day of celebration for the whole church. And today is also, as I mentioned, a joyful day for the members of the Anuwim community. It's our annual commitment day, or you could say recommitment day. Every year on the Saturday between the Feast of the Assumption and the Feast of the Queenship of Mary, we recommit ourselves to following the Anuwim way. And we do it at this time of year between Assumption and Queenship because it's in honor of Our Lady, our Queen, Our Lady of the Liturgical Life. It happens that this year, both the Feast of the Assumption and the Feast of the Queenship fall on Saturday, so we don't have a Saturday in between. But we get the opportunity to celebrate the Assumption today and the commitment today, and then next Saturday we'll celebrate the Queenship, focus on Mary and on the icon. I'd like to focus on three ideas this morning. First of all, we'll focus on Mary and what happened to her at the end of her earthly life. And then secondly, we'll reflect a little bit on what this says about us and about what it says about the human family, or what Pope Leo XIV calls our magnificent humanity. And then thirdly, a short reflection on how our commitment to the Anuwim way, or how the Anuwim spirituality is connected to this feast day. So first of all, about Mary. She went to heaven. Of course she went to heaven. What's unique about Mary is that she was taken bodily into heaven. Her body's in heaven. Her body is glorified in heaven. That's not the case of anybody else, as far as we know. So it's true that there are some saints whose bodies are incorrupt. You've heard about incorruptibles. After they die, their bodies don't decay, as happens to most people, and it's quite a remarkable thing. But that's not what happened to Mary. At the end of her earthly life, she does not lie incorrupt in a tomb. She's alive. She's alive in glory, a glorified body in heaven. So that's what we celebrate today. Mary, represented or symbolized by what we heard in the first reading, clothed with the sun, clothed with glory, with the moon under her feet, on her head a crown of 12 stars. Mary in glory. That's why this is a glorious feast day. Fourth glorious mystery of the Rosary. Now, there's a liturgical connection, I don't know what people should know, between this feast day and what we celebrated last Thursday, a week ago Thursday, the glorious feast of the Transfiguration of the Lord. What we saw on the mountain last Thursday, what we caught a glimpse of on the mountain was glory, glory shining on the face of Jesus, just a passing glimpse. But now what we see is that glory radiating from Mary forever. Mary in heaven. So that's the connection, this kind of novena of glory from Transfiguration to Assumption. Now, it doesn't mean that Mary surpasses Jesus because her glory is lasting forever and Jesus is only a glimpse of glory. That doesn't. We don't go directly from Transfiguration to Assumption. Liturgically, we do this novena of glory, but we should know there is an essential and obvious step implied between them, between Transfiguration and Assumption, and I hope you know that essential step is the resurrection. The resurrection and ascension of Jesus. The real feast of glory, the greatest feast of glory, is Jesus triumphing over sin and death, rising from the tomb, glorious, and ascending to heaven in glory. That's in between. It's in the middle of this novena of glory. So what Mary has, or what Mary has been given, is a permanent share in that glory that Jesus won for all of us. And that's why she intercedes in heaven for us to him. That's why we can talk about going to Jesus through Mary, because Mary has been taken up to the right hand of the Lord. One thing we should note about Mary, since we're starting with this reflection on Mary on her feast day, this feast day, in some ways, is greater credit to Mary than the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. the other great feast of Mary, or great solemnity of Mary. Immaculate Conception at the very beginning of her earthly life, Assumption at the very end of her earthly life. Why do I say more credit to Mary today? Because the Immaculate Conception was pure gift. Mary didn't do anything to be immaculately conceived. God chose her and preserved her. Great gift. But when it comes to the Assumption, because this is the end of her life, it's a reminder to us that not only did Mary receive the pure gift, but she cooperated her whole life long with the pure gift. No sin. So no sin at the beginning, no sin for her whole life. At the very end, she's taken up into glory. So that cooperation, it doesn't mean that Mary earned her way into heaven. Nobody can earn their way into heaven, not even Mary. No, nobody deserves heaven. That's God's gift to us and his love. But Mary cooperated perfectly with the gift. And that's why she can be taken up in glory. Okay, so that's first, the first and central reflection of this feast day is Mary. Mary taken up bodily into heaven. Assumed into heaven. Now, secondly, we have to acknowledge that this feast day is not only for Mary. The glory that we see radiant in the body of Mary now is not only for Mary, because God wants all of us to shine with glory forever. He doesn't want Mary alone. He wants all of us to shine with glory. And the expression that came to my mind reflecting on the glory that God has in mind for us is the beautiful expression that Pope Leo XIV used in the title of his first encyclical letter, Magnifica Humanitas, which can be translated magnificent humanity, or the grandeur of humanity, magnificent humanity. The point of the Pope in that encyclical being that the world is so impressed and so intimidated by AI now, all the great technology, and it is impressive. It is impressive, and it is a little bit intimidating how advanced technology has become. But what God can do, and what God has already done, is far more impressive. And it's not simply the work of human genius, it's divine work. That's what we celebrate. After all, in heaven, there are no computers. In heaven, there are no gadgets, there's no human technology, there's no artificial intelligence in heaven. They don't even need it. Why? Because there's divine intelligence. There's no AI, there's DI. I know that doesn't really work, you can't say DI, but still, that's the glory of heaven is divine intelligence, and the divine mind, the Logos, is revealed in Jesus Christ. We celebrate the divine intelligence. Now, in reflecting on that, I want to turn to this encyclical, Magnifica Humanitas. I know, we're not supposed to read any encyclicals from the pulpit like this, but the Pope, Pope Leo XIV, concludes this encyclical letter with some reflections on the Magnificat, Mary's Song of Hope, and that's today's Gospel. So since this is the Pope's pondering on the Magnificat, it seems appropriate to read a few lines. This is the very end of the encyclical paragraphs. I'll read a section from paragraph 243 and the last one, 245. So this is what the Pope says. Mary's song, talking about the Magnificat, what I just read in the Gospel, Mary's song accompanies our commitment. Before Elizabeth, who announced to her that she had become the mother of the Lord, Mary burst into a hymn of praise and joy. And we all join that hymn of praise and joy today on this feast day. Her soul magnifies the Lord, and her spirit rejoices in God her Savior, because he chose a young, poor, and humble girl for his plan of salvation. Mary suddenly sees all of history through the lens of this revelation. Nothing has changed around her. The socio-political situation of her time remains the same. The Romans continue to control her land. Her people are still subjected and humiliated. Yet, everything has changed within her. and this allows her to see what is invisible. And this is very important for us because Mary assumed in heaven, it's not invisible to her anymore, but to us it's still invisible. That's why it's important to take on Mary's attitude at the visitation, to proclaim the glory of God, to magnify the Lord, even though we don't see the change with our eyes. So this allows her to see what is invisible. God has already shown the strength of his arm. He has already scattered the proud, cast down the mighty, lifted up the lowly, filled the hungry with good things, and sent the rich away empty-handed. He has already helped Israel, his servant. God takes the part of the lowly. His plan is one that is often hidden beneath the opaque context of human events that see the proud, the mighty, and the rich triumph. Yet, his secret strength is destined in the end to be revealed. So it's revealed to Mary, it's revealed in Mary as she's assumed into heaven, and this is what we celebrate today. Now, here's a little thought from the very end of this document. With the same faith as Mary, let us become weavers of hope in our world, sharing who we are and what we have, so that the presence of Jesus may grow among us and his kingdom take shape. In the humble fidelity of daily life, which is what we have every day, you know, we don't look very glorious. Even the committed Anuwim members, they might wear white, not shining with glory yet. Okay, but in the humble fidelity of daily life, even the era of AI can become a time in which the Holy Spirit brings about the civilization of love to fulfillment in our lives. Indeed, the Lord continues to make all things new and offers every era the possibility of becoming part of salvation history in the light of the incarnation. I entrust our desire, meaning this desire for the fullness of life, to the Mother of Christ, to the woman of the Magnificat, that she may guide our steps through this time of change and preserve in each of us true faith in the gospel, so that we may bear witness to the grandeur of humanity, or to the magnificent humanity in which God has made his dwelling. Very last words of the encyclical. Okay. So, God has a magnificent plan for Mary. That's what we celebrate today. It's revealed today. Secondly, God has a magnificent plan for all of us. This feast reminds us that our destination is not simply to have a better world. It's not simply to have more computing power or better AI or better power, better money or better technology. No, our destination is much better. It's heaven. Heaven. With Jesus, with Mary, with all the saints in glory. Okay, third point of this reflection. Well, what about this Anuwim commitment? Why commit? Why recommit to following the Anuwim spirituality today? Why? Only if it helps us pursue this heavenly goal. Only if it helps us, only if it points us toward our real destination of heaven. If it doesn't, well then don't join it. Don't commit to something that doesn't lead to glory. It should, after all, it should. I mean, here in Anuwim, we're called to find our identity with Mary at the foot of the cross. So to be with Mary at the foot of the cross is part of the journey to glory. To be able to see the possibility of new life, even when it looks like there's no possibility. That's the faith of Mary at the cross. To ponder with Mary the Word of God in the daily liturgy. To ponder with Mary the mysteries of God. That's our work as well. To be poor in spirit with Mary. That's what Anuwim means, to be poor in spirit, to be dependent on God with Mary, should lead to glory. To praise and thank God with Mary, to sing a Magnificat with Mary, that should lead us to our destination of heaven. Now, of course, we don't do this perfectly. That should be obvious to everybody. We're not yet in heaven. We're not yet shining with glory. We're weak, we're sinful. But following this way which is given to us through Father Francis, given to us by God, given to us in Mary, this way should direct us and strengthen us and support us in pursuing glory. It's a way that points us in the direction of glory. And as I say, if it doesn't do that, well then, you shouldn't be a member. No, but it should do that. If we're faithful, if we recognize the authenticity of the charism, it should lead us and everyone who follows to glory in heaven. So with that joyful and hopeful reminder, I'm going to invite our Anuim members to recommit themselves to the way of the Anuim spirituality. But I think we do that after we pray the creed.